Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
So in honor of Memorial Day, maybe tomorrow you've got a big picnic to go to, but today let's do what Memorial Day is all about. If you would you stand with me and let's remember those who have given their lives to protect and defend our freedom. In the Revolutionary War, these figures are close. In the Revolutionary War, 25,324 gave their life. In the Civil War, 498,332 gave their life. In World War I, 116,710. In World War II, over 600,000 men and women gave their life defending our country. In the Korean War, where my father served, 54,546. In the Vietnam War, 58,098. And in the Iraqi War, including Afghanistan, as of Friday, over 7,000 men and women have given their lives to protect our freedom. And as we remember them today, and as I was looking up these figures, sometimes because for whatever reason it's not on the news anymore, but just Friday, February 22nd, 10 American soldiers died overseas protecting us. Whether we agree or disagree that they should be there or should not, the point is they are there. They are there defending us and our freedom. So let's just take a moment to just be silent and to remember what they've done for us. We thank you, Lord, and we pray for the families who have lost loved ones. Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort them, give them strength, give them peace, that, Lord, that you would remind them of the honor that their family members, that they served and died for what they believed in. And Lord, we just thank you that we are just so privileged and blessed to be here this day in this place. And we thank you, Lord, for all that's been done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. It is a remarkable thing. Over 1 million Americans have given their lives for Americans. It's really remarkable, isn't it? When you hear that number, it just says, wow. And the thing that always amazes me is that even in times of war, even in times of unrest, even in times of ISIS and Iraq and all these things, there are still so many, even within our own church, so many young men and women who have signed up voluntarily to serve in the armed forces. I mean, that always just impresses me to no end that they still, to the, you know, knowing that we have Chris Fong's nephew is serving in the Navy. We have Summer Jacobs is serving. We have Todd and Virginia's son, he is serving. We have, and there's probably more that I'm not remembering, that are serving in the military and signed up during times of unrest and knowing that they would probably country go into harm's way. And they do it from a sense of honor and dedication to our country. And so, you know, I just encourage you, when you see people that are serving, take the time to say thank you. Amen? Take the time to just say thanks, because they're doing it and it's for us. And so today, I don't want to diminish the sacrifice and service of those men and women who have served our nation so faithfully and lost their lives. But I want to talk about the greatest soldier ever. Amen? The great soldier stepped into harsh battlefield one day. He took up arms and he fought and gave his life, not just for a nation, but for all humanity. Amen? How many know who I'm talking about? He gave his life for us, and his life was not given in vain, but the sacrifice of his life served to literally set the captives free of sin. Amen? You know, we've all heard the chain. We sing songs about the chains of sin are broken. I've been transferred from darkness into light. We sing songs about amazing grace and about his mercy endures forever. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus the Son of God. And on this Memorial Day, let's remember him as well. Let's remember the ultimate sacrifice given, again, not just for a nation, but for all humanity, what Jesus did for us. Amen? And, you know, the Bible tells us, if you want to turn there in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9, the person who gave the most to free mankind was Jesus. And in the scripture it says here, God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We've been saved through Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith. We have been rescued from death, hell, and the grave by Jesus Christ. And it's so important that we remember that. When darkness or heaviness or bondage, something that you feel like you can't get out of, you know, when that starts to come on you or you start to feel that way, you need to remind yourself that you have been set free, that Jesus came to set the captives free. Amen? He came so that we could live. He came so that we would not be in darkness, that we would be in light. He came so that nothing could have hold over us. Amen? He came so that we could walk and live in freedom. He is the ultimate sacrifice for humanity, the only sacrifice that could do what he did, the blood of Jesus. And, you know, it's so important that as we remember this, you know, Jesus talks a lot about remembering. He told Paul, Paul said, I write to you what the Lord delivered unto me. And he talked about remembering what Jesus did. But all through the Bible, we see the power of remembrance. How many know there's power in your memory? How many have you ever been walking through even, you know, sometimes at the grocery store at Publix, you know, they play, you know, the music and you're not really consciously listening to it, but suddenly you'll hear a song and that song will take you right back to where you heard that song the first time, or something that happened, or some memory that song triggers, and you are right back where you were. How many, you know, I was visiting a friend recently. She was down here and I went down to Del Rey to meet her at the hotel where she was at, and she was my high school buddy, and so we've been friends ever since high school, going on, you know, 29 years now. And so I was there, and there was a prom there. And I saw all these kids with their prom outfits on, which, how many know prom outfits have changed since we were in high school? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I mean, they're beautiful, though. I mean, those girls, they looked beautiful, So there was all the kids in the prom, their beautiful dresses, and they had their tuxedos on, and they're getting their pictures taken. And there's my friend and I, and we both just looked at each other, and it was like we were right back at our junior and senior proms. We were right back there. We were talking about, oh, you remember this, you remember that? The power of your memory is powerful. It's powerful. You know, God told, you know, we've heard about the 12 stones. You know, God told Joshua to remember what had happened. He told him to remember what had happened to the people. God told the children of Israel to tell every generation what had happened to them, to not let those stories, those testimonies, depart from their generations, but that every generation, it was your responsibility to tell the younger generation about the power of God and what God had done for his people. There is power in remembering. We know the story of Jehoshaphat, where the Bible says that there were three armies were coming against Jehoshaphat and his people. They're coming from every side. And the first thing that happened was that he got really freaked out and scared. How many say I would too, probably, right? But then he immediately began to remember. He said, let's remember what God has done. Let's remember what God has done. And so there is power in remembering. But it's so easy. How many know it's so easy to forget stuff? And especially as you get a little bit older. You know, we were talking in some, oh, there was a picture. I have an app on my phone. It's called Time Hop. I love that app. I think it's awesome. Sometimes it's awesome, and sometimes it's, like, aggravating to me. Because what it does, it shows you, like, if I pulled it up today, it would show me any Facebook post or any picture that I had taken on my phone last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or 4 years ago. And so it's kind of, it's a time hop. It, like, takes you back in time. And so the other day, there was a picture, and it was my sister-in-law, and Donna, and she's drinking out of this little tiny cup of coffee, and underneath it, I had written, Turkish coffee. Turkish coffee. Now, I've never been to Turkey, nor has she. And so I sent it to her, and I said, where was this? She wrote me back, and she said, I have no idea. I have no idea. And so both of us sat for like 15 minutes saying, where were we? What were we doing? Where is this place? We're blowing the picture up, trying to see behind us, find out where we were. It's a complete mystery. We have no idea where we were and why she was drinking coffee out of a little tiny cup, and we called it Turkish coffee. We have no idea. The memory is gone. But you know what? I bet if somebody were to like bring up a few more details of that, we'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, right, I remember. See, your memory, if you don't keep it sharp, it dulls. And the same thing is true for our memory of what Jesus has done for us. If we don't keep it sharp, it dulls. Jesus doesn't dull. His power doesn't dull. What he's done for us doesn't dull. But our ability and our expectation of it will dull, because we'll just kind of be like, oh yeah, I'm saved. Let's never be like that. That's why Jesus said that we were to often remember what Jesus had done for us. Often. You know, you don't have to pay the price for your sin because of Jesus. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Anybody ever sin in here? Yeah. If you haven't raised your hand, you know, we're going to be like, liar, liar, pants on fire, you know? You're sinning right now. You know, get the fire extinguisher. You know what I'm saying? There's a lake of fire for you, the Bible says. But the thing is that there is a price to pay.
Yes.
There's a price to pay. And Jesus said, I'll pay the price. Let's never forget that Jesus has paid the price for us. Let's never forget that he has made it so no chains can hold us. He has set us free. Let's never forget what Jesus has done. Amen? Let's keep going here. When we think about what he has done, over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24, it says this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus did that for us. Amen? Jesus. When we think about what they did to him, the Son of God, the Son of Almighty God, he was arrested, beaten, mocked. He was thrown about. Parts of his beard were pulled out by the roots. They spit directly into his face and beat him over the head with sticks of wood. And then they nailed his hands and feet to a cross. And as his lifeblood poured out on that cross through those wounds, he prayed in Luke chapter 23, verse number 34. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He did all of that for us. You know, the Bible says that he was so beaten and so abused in those days that he was so disfigured from the beating that he received. The Bible said that he no longer appeared human. I remember we went to see The Passion of the Christ as a church group. And as I was walking out, a lady was walking with me, and everyone was so moved by, you know, how many have seen that movie? It's such a powerful movie. And she said this to me. She said, and she didn't mean it, but she said, well, I thought that they just really overdid the beating part. And I was like, I said to her, that's not even possible. I said, the Bible says that he didn't even look like a person anymore because he was so beaten. His face was so mangled up, he didn't even look like a person anymore. I said, they could not have overdone what happened to him on that cross.
That's right.
You know, I kind of got like, you know, a little bit about it, like, hey, because it was just, you know, to say that, let's never forget what Jesus has done. Let's never forget why he did it. He said he went for us. He went to set the captives free. He went so our bodies could be healed. He went so we wouldn't be bound to poverty. He went so that we wouldn't spend eternity in hell. He went so that the veil could be broken and we could go directly to the throne of God and go to that throne of grace and make our petitions known. He went so that we could be in direct relationship with God the Father. That's why he went.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let's never forget. Let's never let it get dull. And let's never not walk in and take advantage of what he did for us. How painful must it be for Jesus to sit at the right hand of the Father? How painful must it be for him to watch us not walk in what he paid for? How painful must that be for him? How painful must it be for him to watch us walk with guilt and shame and condemnation? When he's sitting at the right hand thinking, I paid for that. Why are they carrying that when I paid for that? I ran into a lady at Walmart and I was talking to her and I said, well, you know, why don't you come to church? What's the problem? You know? Because she said, well, I've been thinking about coming to church. I really want to come to church. You know, I'm at Walmart. What do I have to lose, right? She already doesn't come to my church. It's not like she can't leave. She doesn't come. So I just looked at her. I go, why don't you just come to church? What is the problem? What is the problem? You know people that go there. You've been invited. You know me. Why don't you just come? You just keep talking about how you want to come, but you never come. What's the problem? And so then I mean, we were sitting there in Walmart, and then I felt a little bit bad because then the tears started in Walmart. And I'm like, oh, help me, Jesus. I made somebody cry in Walmart. I mean, how terrible is that? And so I was like, I go, oh, I'm really, you know, I said, I'm sorry that you're crying, but you came up to me. You came up to me, you know? And so, and she goes, this is what she said to me. She said, you know what? She goes, I just don't think I could ever be forgiven. I don't think I could ever be forgiven. And she was for real. I mean, we're standing in Walmart, and tears are coming down her face. She goes, I've just done so many things. And I looked at her and I said, you just don't know Jesus.
Come on.
You just don't know Jesus. Because if you knew Jesus, you would know that there is nothing that he will not forgive you for.
Amen.
Nothing. I said, now listen, quit crying. You know, we're at Walmart. I said, listen, let's get together, just you and me. We'll get together somewhere private, somewhere where you can cry if you need to. You know, because I did feel bad making her cry in Walmart. And I said, I got to tell you about Jesus, because you don't know Jesus. You don't know him, because if you knew him, you would run to church.
That's right. Amen.
If you knew him, you would run to church. Because you would know that because of his great love, the Bible says in Ephesians, while we were great, one translation says great sinners. But because of his mercy, because of his love, he died for us. Amen. Oh, we need to tell. And then as I was, you know, picking up an order there. And as I was leaving, I thought to myself, I looked at the Walmart, you know, the one on Hypoluxo, it's huge. I turned around, and I saw all these people, and I thought to myself, how many of these people here today don't come to Jesus because of guilt and shame? It's so many. I know it's so many. And so that's why it's our job to always keep it sharp in us. Because how many have ever been walking with God and then suddenly you find that guilt is snuck in and condemnation is snuck in and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I'm forgiven,
yes.
I'm free. Yes. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus died for me to live free from this,
Amen.
Not to live bogged down. And so we got to keep the memory of what Jesus has done for us sharp in our hearts. And in our minds, and in our mouths. There is power in remembrance. How many have had God do something for you? God bring you out of something.
Yes.
God just work something out that's just like, whoa, that is God. You know, we need to remember those things. We need to remember when I was flying home from Tulsa, I got upgraded to first class because I'm highly favored. Amen. I'm highly favored, and I racked up a lot of miles flying back and forth to Africa. And so I was sitting next to this gentleman, and he's a cancer doctor, and he started talking to me, and so he asked me what I did. I told him. He was like, really? And he said, are you a Mormon? And I said, no, I'm not a Mormon. Why would you think I'm a Mormon? And he said, oh, because I thought Mormons were in Tulsa. And I go, no, that's another state. But no, I'm not Mormon. And anyway, so I started talking to him, and he told me that he was a Hindu, and I was like, oh, okay. And then he just kept asking me questions. He was hungry for God.
Yes.
He was hungry for God. And, you know, I didn't tell him I didn't tell him a bunch of scriptures. I didn't tell him that. You know what I told him? I said, he said, how did you become a pastor? And I said, let me tell you what God has done for me. And I said, God just moved so mightily in my life in so many ways and so many times. I said that I just wanted to serve him because I love him. He says, what did he do? And I began to tell him what God had done. And you know, I'm not going to tell you, oh, he got saved right there on the plane. That didn't happen. But he did accept my invitation to come to church.
Come on.
And so I hope one day he walks in here. And I planted some seeds into him about the reality of how good God is. There, you know, and as I was remembering all those things, oh, it just stirs up in you. It stirs up in you the power of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. Let's never get to the point where we're like, meh. And you know what? I've been there. And I bet if we're honest in here, we've all been there once or twice. Where it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, I got to go to church today. No, no, no. You get to go to church today. Amen.
Yes.
You get to worship God today. You get to be in his presence. You get to go to the throne of God. You get to walk with the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You get to read the word of God that people
yes.
gave their lives
Thank
for us
you,
to
Lord.
Have in our hands.
Thank
you
Lord.
Get to do that.
Yes.
I get to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did on that cross.
Thank you,
Jesus. Let's not get like the world. The Bible says don't become like the world. We're not like them.
No.
They're trying to make us like them. But we are not like them. Amen? We are not. And so you know what Jesus asked us to do when we remember all those things that Jesus did? He asked us, what does he ask us in return? He simply says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24, he says, do this in remembrance of me. And so this morning, we're going to receive communion. And we're going to remember what Jesus has done for us. Amen? And so as the ushers are passing out communion, I would like for all of us to just take a minute to remember what God has done for us. What has God done for you? If nothing else, if you're sitting here and you're saying, I can't think of anything, if nothing else, you are here today. You got here somehow. Amen. You're breathing. You're living. Looking around here, y'all look pretty good. Most of you look pretty good. Amen. And you've got air to breathe. You've got hands at work. Amen. You're here. You're alive. If you can't think of anything else, I got one. Think of that. If you can't think of anything else, think of the blessing it is when we think about people that are over in other countries and over in the Middle East where ISIS is, where they are right now literally hunting Christians, looking for them to end their lives. Be thankful that you're not there. Amen? You have so much to be thankful for. I know I say this all the time, but it's just such a good reminder. You know, they say if you have a roof over your head, if you have food in your refrigerator, if you have a bed to sleep in, if you have any money at all, that means you even have money in a piggy bank, you are better off. You are actually in the top 3% of the world's population. And everybody says you want to be in the 1%. You may not be in the 1%, but you are in the 3%. Amen. How many got some change in your car? Got some loose change? Got a piggy bank at home? You got a dollar in your wallet at least? You're in the top 3%. Amen. You are rich in this world's standards. You may not feel it, but the fact of the matter is you are. And we need to be thankful for that. Amen. How many got a bed to sleep on? You got a roof over your head. You're in the top 3%. Oh, AC, help me, Jesus. I was in Africa last year. Let me tell you something. I sat in a church a little bit smaller than this. They probably had over 300 people in there. There was no AC. None. And it was so hot. Oh, my goodness. It was so hot. And I remember thinking, it was on a Sunday, thinking, everybody back at BBC got the AC going. They don't know how blessed they are. They don't know how blessed they are. Be thankful for the big things. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus. And let's be thankful for the little things as well. We got AC today. Amen. We are so blessed, and Jesus did that. And what does he say? What does he tell us to do? He says, do this in remembrance of me. We are to remember his body broken on the cross when we take the bread at the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24. Let's prepare this morning. The Bible says, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's remember the Lord. We are to remember the blood that he shed on the cross when he took the cup at the Lord's Supper. He said this, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's remember the Lord. Whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is Memorial Day for the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, the Bible tells us. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And so today, after we've received communion and we remember, I want to ask you a couple of questions. The first question is this. Will you remember what Jesus did for you on the cross? Will you remember the bloody sweat of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? Will you remember his loneliness as all the disciples forsook him and ran away? Will you remember the pain and the suffering he went through on the cross? Will you remember that he did this so your sins could be paid for and washed away by his blood? I know we've all heard these things before. We've watched the movie. We've received communion before. But right now, today, will you remember just how much Jesus loves you? Just remember. You may feel lonely right now. You may feel like nobody likes you. You may feel like the world's against you. But right now, today, remember that the Son of God gave his life for you. That God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to save the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then verse number 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Will you remember today that you are not supposed to carry guilt and shame? Will you admit that you need Jesus? You need him. We're not built for life without him. It'd be like if you saw somebody and they were out four-wheeling and going over big, big hills and it was real super muddy and they were out there in like a little Toyota. We'd be like, that's not built for that. You need one of them big trucks with big wheels that sits up tall, right? But you know what? When you try to go through life without Jesus, You're like a Toyota where you don't belong. You're not built for that. You need Jesus. He's built for this. And with him, we can get through anything. With Jesus, you can get through the greatest loss of your life. With Jesus, you can get through the hardest times you'll ever be through. With him. But we're not built to go alone. We're built to go with him. Amen? We need Jesus. So let's never forget that he is here with us, that he loves us, that he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, strengthen us, empower us. Let's not walk separate from what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Amen? And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, looking around, I know most of us all in here, and I know we're on our way to heaven, but maybe you're here today and you've just forgotten. You have forgotten what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You've been living life without him, without his help, without his power, without his strength, without his mercy, without his forgiveness. You've been living life separate from all of that. But today, you just want to say, you know what, I need Jesus in my life. I need to stir up what God has done for me. I need to remind myself that I'm not walking alone. I'm walking with Jesus. If that's you with nobody looking around just for a minute, if that's you and you say, I need Jesus, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I need Jesus. I see your hand over there. Anybody else? I need Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For the sake of the one who raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together. I see your hand back there again in the back, couple people. I need Jesus. For the sake of those who raised their hand, and maybe you're here and you didn't raise your hand, just say this prayer. Say it out loud. Say it like you mean it. Because you know what? Your life depends on it. How you live with Jesus is how you live your life. And it's our choice. You can live powerless. You can live on your own. You can live thinking you're too cool for Jesus. But I'll tell you what, one day that cool runs out. And you're going to find out that you need more than who you are. You need Jesus. And so let's say this prayer together. Say, Father God, I recognize I need Jesus. I'm so thankful that he came, that he died, and he rose again, all for me. Thank you, Jesus. I receive him, and I honor him as my Lord and my Savior. Help me remember, Jesus, what you've done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, ain't God good? He's so good. He's so good. And so as you go out this weekend and have some fun, and hopefully lots of you guys have tomorrow off, and as you're celebrating Memorial Day, let's not forget over 1 million people have died so that we could have this freedom. Amen? Let's not forget that probably even today, someone will give their life in the fight for justice. And they do that, they do it for us. They do it for us. So let's not forget that, amen? And let's walk in the power that Jesus came to give us. You're forgiven. And if you run into somebody at Walmart, it's okay to make them cry because it's good for them, amen? It's good for them. It's good for them to be told and reminded, hey, you need to come to church. You need to know that you are forgiven. You are loved and you are cared for. Hey, you know, I just asked the Lord. I said, Lord, help me see people like her. Help me see them and help me talk to them, no matter where I'm at. Because, oh, it just breaks my heart that people would not know that they are forgiven and loved. I always tell people, I said, listen, I may look all cleaned up now. I may look like that now. And I still got issues just like everybody does, but I always say to him, and I said to that girl, I said, listen, let me tell you where I come from. Let me tell you what Jesus has washed away from my life. You know, you don't have to tell people a bunch of Bible verses. You need to be a witness. What does a witness do? A witness tells what happened. Tell somebody what happened to you. You say, listen, this is what happened. When I found Jesus, this is what happened. Be a witness for him, because, oh, there's people that are crying in Walmart because they need to know there's a God who loves them. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready for that?